Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, April the 11th. You know, we've had very nice weather here. In fact, I would say warmer than usual for several days. But it's a little more chilly today. I mean, it's in the 60s, but it's awfully windy, which makes it probably feel a little bit colder than that. But anyway, just lovely day, just a little windy out here in North Texas. Well, today we're going to talk about Attorney General Barr. It's amazing the reaction that he's getting from Democrats, for all he said was so simple, and yet the Democrats are reacting to him in a pretty remarkable way. So I've got a few thoughts about that. And also, Secretary Pompeo is off to South America, and I think that's an important visit, to say the least. But let's begin with a couple of stories that have been in the news today. The first one is Julian Assange, who was arrested as he was coming out of the Ecuador embassy in London. Now, look, I don't have all of the, you know, I don't understand exactly how this man is going to, I mean, I don't know the case against him. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I know he's not a very nice person, and I know he did a lot of things that were harmful to our national security. I know that. But I'm not sure how you can actually, I don't know how you bring him down legally, that is. I don't know how you, you know, get him convicted in the court of law, because I think what he's going to say, or at least that's what the attorney, I saw the attorney on TV this morning briefly saying that, Julian is just a journalist. He was just doing his job as a journalist. Well, if they're going to use that defense, they have a little leeway as to what he did. Now, I don't know if the court is going to buy it. I don't know if there's other things they can throw at this guy. But all I can tell you is two things. He's not a nice person. And number two, he's made a lot of enemies. He has made a lot of enemies here in the political class, also in Europe. So this is a man who's probably not going to catch a break. So what's going to happen to him, I don't know. We're going to have to wait a few months probably to see where all of this goes. But I'm glad, and I'm sure everybody in Ecuador is probably pretty glad that this guy is no longer living in their embassy. I mean, it's been a circus having this guy in their embassy in London. The other thing that was being talked about today is the situation in the border, how it's becoming more and more obvious to everybody that there is a problem on the border. And the Democrats are, you know, playing this as if this is Trump's problem or Trump created this problem. I think that's becoming more and more difficult of a case to make when you consider the total absolute chaos that we're witnessing on the border. So I wouldn't be surprised if you begin to see within the Democrat Party a movement to try to come up with something, try to come up past something to fix the problem on the border. And I wouldn't be surprised if that starts with many of these moderates who are going to be facing re-election in 2020 in districts where I don't think saying that there's no crisis on the border is going to play very well with the people in those districts. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Attorney General Barr. On Thursday, he was before the Senate, and as part of the questions, he said that there was spying that was done against the Trump team or campaign staff in 2016. He didn't specify, he didn't say whether it was legal or illegal. You know, he didn't say any of that, but he admitted the obvious that there had been some spying done against the Trump campaign staff. Now, of course, many of the Democrats are reacting as if, you know, one is even saying that Barr is a hatchet man for President Trump. I think Nancy Pelosi was saying that, well, he's supposed to be the Attorney General of the United States, not the Attorney General of President Trump or something like that. I'm a little bit surprised at the reaction from the Democrats, but maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe there is something to what he's investigating. Look, there was indeed spying against the Trump campaign. That's fairly obvious. And the question that I've always asked myself is, was it legal or was it illegal? What I mean by legal is, if the FBI or the intelligence services believe that there is a Russian spy in a campaign, they have the responsibility to do something about it. Now, I would assume the way they do it is they go within the intelligence community and they say, look, we believe that there's a spy in the Trump campaign in this case. So the next thing they do is they notify the campaign. They go to Mr. Trump himself and say, hey, there's a spy in your campaign. We believe there is. And we're going to be monitoring your campaign. You know, we're going to maybe put a person in there to monitor what's going on. So we're just telling you so that you know what's going on. That was never done with Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump was never told that that was happening. On the contrary, this was done, you know, apparently in some other way. The problem with the Democrats is that if, in fact, there was a document that was used to obtain a warrant against Mr. Carter, and that document was fraudulent, or that document was indeed paid for from a political organization with ties to Hillary Clinton, and that was not told to the FISA court judge that approved this thing, there are lots of people who are going to be in deep trouble. There are lots of people who are going to be in deep trouble because this is something that cannot be tolerated. And what amazes me is how quickly the Democrats go against Attorney General Barr or against President Trump. It would appear to me, look, as a citizen, I would like to know whether or not there was espionage against a campaign. I would like to know that. And if there was, I like to know what motivated that espionage. Was it legal? Was it illegal? I like to know that. I think the country needs to know that. So the Democrats are acting a little strange, to say the least, about all of this. And I understand they have to go against Trump. They have to, because their base is so invested in Trump derangement syndrome that they just have to go against anything that Trump does. I understand that. But this is a little bit bigger than Trump. I mean, in fact, this is really something that concerns all of us. If you're going to have a intelligence service conducting espionage against a campaign, that's a pretty serious matter. And if it's not legal or it was done outside of the norm or outside of the practices, that's pretty serious too. And I think it should be investigated. But again, the Democrats are so invested in their hatred of Trump that, frankly, I'm beginning to wonder if they're going to make it. I mean, it's getting to the point where it's almost, you know, ridiculous to listen to the Democrats anymore. It's just silly, you know, what they're saying and what they're justifying about everything having to do with President Trump. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back, but I don't hear the music, so I think there must be something wrong here with the music. So let's try it again. Let's see if we hear it now. No, I don't hear the music, so let's not have our break right now. Let's do it maybe a little bit later. Let's try it again. Let's see if we got it right now. No, let's try over. Nope, I don't see it. I don't hear it. Okay, so we're just going to keep talking, I guess, until we get to a little bit better later, and we'll try the break again. Well, the other big story that I want to talk about today is an article that I have coming out on Friday morning about Secretary Pompeo, who's off to South America, and he's going to visit four very important countries, Peru, Chile, Paraguay, and Colombia. And he's going to be visiting these four countries as part of a campaign, of course, to improve, obviously, relations with these countries. Our relations with these four countries are pretty good right now, so it's not a, you know, he's not going there for any, you know, to improve. It's already a pretty good relationship with these four countries. But I think it's important that he's going down to South America and that he's paying attention to what is going on in South America, because, look, at the moment, there is a campaign to change the situation in Venezuela. We talked about the vice president going to the UN sometime this week, and giving a pretty tough speech against Venezuela. And now you have the Secretary of State going down to South America to talk to countries who aren't very comfortable with Maduro either. So I'm glad to see that this is happening. And it's just another example of what an absolutely great selection Pompeo was as Secretary of State. And I think of all of the cabinet appointments that President Trump has made so far, without question, Pompeo has got to be, if not the best, the second best. Attorney General Barr is turning out to be a pretty good one too. But man, what a great job Pompeo is doing going down to South America and talking to those countries. There is the music. We got the break coming up for you right now. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes.
This is Carlos Geddes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos' website on the show information. You can click on that and get an update of where he's playing around town. He's playing in quite a few places around the Dallas area. Just check him out. I think you're going to love the music, and you're going to love the food. Everywhere he goes, the food is great. So you got great music and great food to go with it. I have a post coming out tomorrow. I had a post that came out today, Thursday, over at the American Thinker, talking about Speaker Pelosi and what a mess Speaker Pelosi is in because of these new members of Congress who have turned out to be quite a headache for her. And, you know, I argue in my post that Pelosi was saying that, or criticizing indirectly, the young woman from the Bronx, you know, AOC, and she was criticizing her indirectly, saying that having, you know, so many tweets doesn't mean, or tweet followers, I guess, is not the same thing as having voters. And that's exactly true. I mean, tweet followers are not the same thing as voters. But, you know, Speaker Pelosi and the Democrats, they shouldn't be going around blaming anybody for people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or the lady in Minnesota who continues to make outrageous statements about the United States, or the lady in Michigan who, the one who said we're going to impeach the, you know what, President Trump. The reason that these three ladies are part of the Democrat Party is because this is not the Democrat Party that Nancy Pelosi grew up in. You know, Nancy Pelosi's father was the mayor of Baltimore back in the 40s and 50s and 60s, I believe. And that was a totally different Democrat Party than the one that she's in today. I mean, her father wouldn't recognize today's Democrat Party. And all of this has happened because the Democrat Party embraced Trump derangement syndrome, and there wasn't anybody in the party's leadership who was willing to say, no, we don't want you in our party. Run as something else. Run as a socialist. Run in another party, because we don't want people like you in our party. They weren't willing to say that because they wanted to win those seats. Well, this is what you get. This is what you get when you embrace Trump derangement syndrome. You get three ladies who are making her life miserable. And I don't know how the lady in Minnesota is going to survive politically after the statements that she made about 9/11. I don't know how, you know, they don't call for that lady to resign after the statements that she made about 9/11. Pretty outrageous, to say the least. Well, it was on this day in 1951 that one of the most interesting confrontations happened between an American president and a general. And that was when President Truman dismissed or fired General MacArthur, who at the time was a pretty popular general. And he fired him because General MacArthur had second-guessed the president publicly regarding Korea. And at the time, President Truman was not very popular. In fact, he was extremely unpopular. And General MacArthur was very popular. But President Truman had to do what he did. And he did the right thing. He did the right thing by letting everybody know that if you're going to criticize the president, you can do it in private. You can say, look, Mr. President, I disagree with this. And if you still disagree with the president, then you resign. You submit your resignation and say, I can no longer carry out this policy. But General MacArthur made public statements that I think challenged the authority of the commander-in-chief. So I completely understand why President Truman fired him. But it was a very difficult decision because MacArthur was extremely popular. And he was extremely popular back here, back home. And there were lots and lots of people who thought that he was going to run for president in 1952. It didn't pan out that way. But anyway, that's what happened on this day in 1951. But President Truman was correct in dismissing General MacArthur. He had to do it. He really had no choice. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you the next time.